You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. And I wanted to give you guys this bonus episode over the weekend because the Mets have officially been eliminated from the playoffs after the Marlins clinched second place in the NL East on Friday night. The Mets had an outside chance if they swept Saturday's doubleheader after Friday's game got rained out. And if the Phillies lost, and if the Giants lost, and if the Brewers lost one of two, all of these crazy circumstances. And ultimately, the Mets got swept in that doubleheader instead of sweeping that doubleheader. I want to talk not about the games, but more about putting a bow on what has been a disappointing season in the first half of the podcast. Then later on in the second half of the podcast, I want to talk about the one redeeming factor of this entire 2020 season for the Mets. Before we get to any of that though, I'm your host Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMerizedOnline.com. Now, I don't want to go through, as I said, and break down each game over the weekend. The Mets win on Thursday night. Friday, the game gets rained out. And then you have an opportunity with Jacob deGrom on the mound where the Mets are not mathematically eliminated. And I think it gave Mets fans a little bit of hope. Maybe it happens, right? Maybe they get the 8th seed in the playoffs. But you know what? This team did not deserve the 8th seed in the playoffs. It's just that simple. And the way they lose that game, as Gary Cohn and Ron Darling pointed out, it was a microcosm of the season. You have a 3-1 lead with Jacob deGrom on the mound in a 7-inning game, and they couldn't get it done. And you see Wilson Ramos, who should no longer be catching games, he's just not able to do it defensively anymore, completely miss a ball that a good receiver back there would be able to block, and that scores the second run. The third run scores on an inside-the-park home run as Dominic Smith just crashes into that wall, violent collision. Luckily, he walked away from that okay, but that resulted in the game being tied, and then the bullpen blows it late, and ultimately, you look back at this season, and there was a game like that every single week. Every single week, and sometimes two or three times a week, the Mets would have a game in hand that they would cough up, whether it was the bullpen not pitching well, whether it was, you know, you get a good start from your starter and you can't get the runners in from scoring position. This is a very talented Mets ball club. You look at their lineup and you could argue whether it is one of the best lineups in the National League. It is right up there with the top teams you look at, with the Dodgers, the Padres, the Braves, the Cubs, just on a collection of offensive talent. But they haven't put it together. One way or the other, whether it's guys pressing, whatever it was exactly, the lineup still, in some regards, underperformed just because they were unable to have that clutch gene. And then the starting pitching was a disaster. And that's your season. Jacob deGrom, David Peterson, and Seth Lugo combined to have a, well, they didn't combine, the team combined to have a 17-10 record when those three starters took the mound. And that right there tells you what the Mets could have been if they got quality starting pitching. And it all goes back to not signing Zach Wheeler. If you just slot him in the Mets rotation, I mean, you could talk about wins above replacement. Getting 10 quality starts out of Wheeler this year probably was the difference in the playoffs. Rick Porcello and Michael Wacha were an unmitigated disaster. Steven Matz just fell off a cliff after what I thought was a really good year in 2019. And the farm system has been gutted of starting pitchers over the past 2 years under Brody Van Wagenen. And also, as part of not signing Zach Wheeler, you had the Marcus Stroman trade that was supposed to eliminate the need for Wheeler in 2020. And Stroman opts out, and you lose two prospects, one of which in Anthony Kay, that could have helped the Mets this season. All of this is to be said that Brody Van Wagenen has made countless, and trust me, we are going to go dig deep into all the trades that have been made, but he has made trade after trade after trade to win now. As much as some would say 2019 was a quote-unquote success because they won, what was it, 89 games or whatever, and ended up being, and they were right there for a playoff spot, ultimately, they didn't get in. This year, with 16 teams, 16 teams making it into the postseason, eight of which coming from the National League, where you literally only had to be about a 500 ball club to be playing a meaningful game on the last day of the season. The New York Mets will not be in the playoffs. The Miami Marlins were a year ahead of schedule. And you look at their success and why they got second place. You know what? As much as I'm a frustrated Mets fan, hats off to the Marlins. Okay, hats off to them. I appreciate the fact that this is a really momentous thing for them to get into the playoffs after 17 years of not playing baseball in October. Even if it's in a fluky season, they earned it. And one of the real reasons why they had so much success is because of their starting pitching. So it is frustrating that you have an organization that went to the World Series in 2015 under the guise of starting pitching. And what we've seen over the past 24 months, or however long Brody Van Wagenen has been in control, is we have seen countless starting pitching prospects go out the door for the opportunity to win now with guys like Michael Wacha and Rick Porcello. And it just has not worked. Ultimately, the one pitcher that did work this year was David Peterson. Funny enough, a pitching prospect. The one guy that was not traded, he comes up to the big league level out of necessity and was the Mets' best starting pitcher outside of Jacob DeGrom. And that is my one redeeming quality of the season that I'm going to talk about in the second half here, is the ascent of David Peterson and Andrés Giménez, because they were the one saving grace for the Mets this season. But outside of that, this was a huge disappointment for the New York Mets. And I think the only solace that you can take as a Mets fan who's very frustrated that your team is not playing in October, this was the last season of Jeff Wilpon. That is the solace you can take. The fact that Jeff Wilpon, the quote-unquote president of baseball operations, leaves the game of baseball as a laughingstock after another miserable season. And that is the way it was supposed to be. I'm going to talk about Peterson and Giménez in just a minute. Now, on Thursday, I recorded two episodes of Locked On Mets, the second one announcing Sandy Alderson as the eventual team president of the team. At the end of that show, I believe I said something about David Peterson, how it'll be interesting to see this kid get a chance in a game where the Mets had their backs against the wall. How does he respond? Well, he went out there against the Nationals on Thursday night, threw seven innings of one-run ball, allowed four hits, had four strikeouts. He has been a revelation for the Mets this year. You're going into the 2021 season with Jacob DeGrom and David Peterson as the only two names I have etched in stone to be in the starting rotation. You can say maybe Seth Lugo will as well, but depending on how they build out their rotation, there's always the chance that Lugo ends up back in the bullpen. Steven Matz, he's going to have to win a job. Noah Syndergaard's coming off Tommy John. And outside of that, it's going to be free agents, trades, or maybe someone else asserting themselves from the minor leagues. I have a depleted farm system. There is not a lot that you can count on when it comes to starting pitching next season. And David Peterson completely won himself a job. No question in my mind. 10 games he pitched in this year. 9 of them starts. He did have that one relief outing where he piggybacked off Michael Wacha and won a game. He led the team in wins overall, 6-2 record over his 10 appearances, had a 3.44 ERA, was fourth in the team in WAR. Andrés Giménez was eighth. And those two guys really were the one thing that you look back on this 2020 season and you say, that was unexpected. I am so happy that those two kids worked out, because let's be honest, there was a lot of good performances. Michael Conforto and Dominic Smith had obviously shortened seasons, but career years in that 60-game stretch. They were both outstanding. Jeff McNeil was up and down, but turned in another really good year. Brandon Nimmo, another good year. You know, Jacob deGrom was great as always. Edwin Diaz with a nice bounce back. Robinson Cano with a nice bounce back. But to a certain extent, you could have expected those performances from all those guys. They were major league caliber players who had shown promise throughout their careers. Andrés Giménez and David Peterson were unknowns. Giménez, we thought he was here to be a glove and to, you know, use his speed. Ends up being the starting shortstop before the end of the season. David Peterson, when you go back to spring training, no chance did we ever think that David Peterson was going to be the second best starting pitcher on the Mets. No chance. Even when you're talking about breaking camp from summer camp, he was not supposed to necessarily be in the rotation until Stroman got hurt and ultimately opted out, and that opened the door for him. And he grabbed that opportunity and was tremendous start after start. And I think the one moment that I'm sure a lot of Mets fans are going to remember about this year is after David Peterson makes his start. He had, you know, got the handshake from the manager. Andrés Giménez is sitting on the elevated bench there, and Peterson comes up to him and gives him a hug. And it was a really wholesome moment where those two rookies who were thrust into a situation they never would have expected went on this crazy ride where, despite COVID and the weird circumstances, both of them, who have spent so much time together in their minor league careers, got an opportunity to live their major league dream. And while it has been an overall disappointing season for the Mets, these aren't guys that are with the team in 2019 that are really feeling that anguish of missing the playoffs. Sure, I bet they both wanted to play in October and, you know, feel that playoff atmosphere, although you wouldn't get it without the fans, but still to feel the stakes of a playoff game. But for those guys, that's gravy. They just got the opportunity to play on the biggest stage, to get to the big league level and perform, and they now both know that they will not be going back to the minor leagues. They skipped whatever that last stop was on their minor league career. And if it was a normal season without the COVID and you had a 162-game schedule, I don't know if those guys get the opportunity from the offset. The fact that there was no minor league season to fall back on, there was no need to, you know, give the start to a Corey Oswalt before a David Peterson, because David Peterson had nowhere else to start other than Brooklyn, you know, in simulated games. So why not give Peterson the opportunity? There was no reason to rely more on Luis Guillorme and give him all of the reps and keep Andrés Giménez stashed in the minor leagues where he could continue to blossom and play, because there was no minor leagues. So they got this chance, they grasped onto it, and they both performed very well. And now next year, hopefully, we get fans back into the stadium, and it's going to feel a little bit different, but at least they have this track record of success to build off of, and hopefully they can hit the ground running again next season, because now there's the expectation that those guys will perform for this team. And I really do believe that they found some players here that, again, no one really anticipated playing such a big role. So I think that was the one bright spot of the season. Now that we transition into the offseason, obviously there's a lot of things to talk about. I'm almost, in some senses, happy that the Mets got eliminated, because otherwise, you know, they probably would have just got swept by the Dodgers in a playoff series anyway. And now we can focus on what this organization looks like moving forward with Steve Cohen, with Sandy Alderson, and most importantly, no Will Pons to get their sticky fingers in anything. And it's just going to be really interesting to see how this organization changes over the coming months, because there's going to be a lot of changes in store between the front office, the players, the manager. We really don't know. So much needs to happen, but I think all of it is going to be finally be moving in the right direction towards the Mets being a respectable and hopefully winning franchise moving forward. I got to say, second season in the books here with Locked On Mets. Very happy for all of you who continue to make this part of your daily routine. I want to thank you. I am really looking forward to covering this team for another offseason here. We'll start things off like we did last year, doing report cards and going through each player and their performance this season. Starting with Jacob DeGrom probably on Monday, as he almost assuredly does not win his third straight Cy Young after a rough start. But I'll do an update. I'll go through all of the different candidates and see where his numbers stack up. Maybe there is still a case to be made for DeGrom. And we'll go from there, talking about potential trade targets, guys on the trade block, free agents, all that good stuff when you're staying here at Locked On Mets, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.